You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Armand Mavis. Now we're talking.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
What do you consider to be your heroes, your design examples, your sources of inspiration?
I work with Karel Martens. It's maybe not that I would say, he was always for me the hero I was admiring, but I can say that working with him, it's very important for me to see how he approaches things, how his work and his life are related. So to actually work with him and be close to him I think is very important in my life. There is someone else I also work with, but who is for me also like inspiring, is Bill Elliman, because he's such a... He's so much on the border of graphic design, or you can hardly say that he's really in graphic design, but I like his independency and his controversial attitude towards graphic design. So, but I think also Linda is also someone I admire for her way of thinking. And on a daily basis, I can also say that I really... I'm very happy. I'm very kind of a lucky person to be with someone I can still learn from. But it's maybe not the answer you want to hear.
No.
Big designer somewhere else, or okay.
I wasn't looking for any big names.
Okay.
I was just curious, like how you, because I what
and,
we've
and
seen.
And my girlfriend, who is a graphic designer as well, also in the way how she works and what she does, of course, also affects my way of thinking, because she does things in a completely different way. And maybe it's not the way how I work, but it's also a solution. And it's also interesting to see how she does things. And in that sense, it's also...
Do you comment on each other's work? Do you
criticize? Sometimes we comment on each other's work. And since we... maybe we understand why you do things, but the outcome of things is so completely different. I don't think that we... can tell each other what the other should do, because then you always feel that you have a different opinion. But I think you can at least understand what the other is trying to achieve, and in that sense, I think we understand each other. It's maybe kind of a fuzzy answer.
No.
Okay.
If you hated her work, would you still be with her?
Of course. I mean, I think it's not about that you are together. It's not about the work.
No, I know, but if you also admire somebody's work, you also, it's a, I don't know.
I don't think you can turn it around. It's an interesting thought.
I don't know.
Well, when I met her, she was still, I was already working for a couple of years, and she was younger, and she started her studio much later, so I didn't know what kind of work she was going to make. So there was a risk. There was a risk.
It was a risk.
And I accepted the risk. I thought, like, okay.
Okay, that's great.
Also wanted to get back to the hero question, because there's a whole, seems like generation is maybe too far-fetched a word, but experimental jet set, this whole generation of designers coming, maybe it's also more Linda's teaching, or did you teach at Rietveld as well?
I didn't teach at the Rietveld, but there were also students who came from Rotterdam Art School.
But I'm saying there's a whole generation of designers stating Mavis and Van Deurse as their main source of inspiration. So that's why I'm thinking, like, what do you look up to, the people that you look up to, and do you have an explanation why there's this strong generation of designers coming out of this academy delivering that high quality work?
Well, of course, I think that that probably the it's nice that, for instance, like people say, like, oh, I really admire the work of what we do. And if these are also like ex-students, then you can only maybe think that you probably did something right when you were teaching. But you cannot just put your finger on it like it was because of this, of this, of this. It's maybe more that you bring in some kind of maybe like an approach or maybe... something else that they can always use as a reference point in their own thinking. I mean, there are also people who come to my mind if I have doubts about what we are actually doing because I'm not satisfied yet. There are always people, other people who do things that I think like, yeah, but if I think about this, this is so much better. So you actually start to reach that same kind of level. So you try to measure what you do with maybe the work by others that you like. But I must say, we are maybe older than the Yetsets, but maybe as much as they like our work, I like their work. So it's, and also other designers which work I really admire, but they're much younger than we are. And I think that's also maybe something that I, well, maybe didn't learn from Karel, but what I really like about Karel is that unless his age, because he's like 70, he's very, I think he's still very open to all these kind of young ideas of people who are 22. And I think that's incredible that you can be so open, even when you're 70, after maybe 35 years of teaching, that you can still be curious to the ideas of young people. Mm. And that's... yeah, I think that openness is maybe also important, that students who come and have you as a teacher, that they understand that it's not a teacher telling you what to do, but it's also like where you try to make the difference smaller between you and your student.
Why is it that when people grow older, they sort of become more closed, like you say that he is quite special. Well, why is it?
Well, of course you can say that the longer you work, and that's also in our case, the clearer it becomes what you try to do within your profession. So you develop stronger ideas about things, and sometimes these stronger ideas can also become kind of dogmas. So I can imagine that there are maybe graphic designers, while growing older, they develop these kind of dogmatic ideas about what is good and what is bad. And that kind of judgmental perception of graphic design, I think, is a very bad thing. And sometimes these people also end up teaching. And I think those are really the teachers you should probably avoid. Because then you can only, I mean, there are so kind of probably try to convince you from their right that as a student you can be completely overwhelmed by it, and you cannot formulate your own opinion anymore. And I think it's no matter what you think, I think it's good to see that what others do, although it might be very different, is also a voice which should be able to be heard, or that should be, you know, that people are able to speak out for themselves. And I think that is that openness, I think, is really important in teaching.
Okay. If you weren't a graphic designer, what kind of thing would you do?
Well, there are a couple of things. Sometimes I think, wow, if I would just win the lottery, I would probably stop being a graphic designer immediately, and I would like to. I would just like to buy art, for instance. I mean, if I could, I would do that. But of course, since I will never win the lottery, I can forget that option in my life. Another option is, or another thing Is well, I think that the freedom in art, or maybe like what artists do, is maybe closest to what I like in the work myself. So I think if I would not have been a graphic designer, I would, I hope I would have been an artist. And I can still have my doubts if I made the right choice.
Do you still sometimes feel the need to move towards more autonomous work, what art is, as opposed to graphic design, and lose? Can you like work without a client, for instance?
Well, actually, I really have, because there are many graphic designers today who create this kind of self-initiated work, and that is a door which is open. It's like this door is open now, and I think it's much easier for graphic designers to produce their own work. But since this work is still within the context of graphic design, I never have the feeling that it's really like it's a good. I don't think it's a it would not be a solution for me. It then I would really think that it's maybe better to really cross that bridge and to really try to confront your ideas or your work within their context of the art world, instead of staying within the context of the graphic design world, where there is another kind of perception of maybe self-initiated work, or maybe another perception of what art or what good of art is. So, and I don't think that the people in the graphic design world can really I think they are already so happy that maybe somebody does something self-initiated, that the level of kind of the criticality is not high enough. So it's I think it's it would not challenge me to be this kind of designer who does his own thing. I really think it's, for me, then it's really, I mean, okay, if you choose for graphic design, then I'm really challenged to work within the circumstances of a real commission, and also to deal with the real world, because that was also like the motivation when you when I at least started to become a graphic designer, just to know that it's printed, that it's working, that it's there, that there's a purpose, that that you deal with people. Yeah.
Also, if you turn that around, like we had a discussion the other day about like the value of graphic design, and this is all, we did it all very black and white, but what I'm trying to say is like the if you take the function out of the designed object, let's say you design a poster for a theater play, for instance, and then if you take this out of the context, that context, and the whole play is already over and gone with, and you put that poster in a book, that's sort of, you know, that's sort of useless or valueless in a way. It makes the whole phenomenon of design books and monographs about designers, it's like completely obsolete, because I mean it's lost its function basically. Yeah. Just, and you consider it as being a piece of art, which it's not, because it was not designed that way. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think I have a similar opinion, because when I look into those books, I just flip through the pages, and everything in those books become completely meaningless to me. So I cannot judge these works anymore, because I don't know what the context was, where why it was made, and the way it was made.
Yeah, but you've also made a monograph of your work.
Well, I was now more referring to those books where they put all kind of happy young designers together. You know, these kind of
design reference books.
Yeah. I think there is a difference between monographs, because I think there are some books which are really good monographs. So there are also probably bad ones, but of course, the good ones are the ones that you appreciate. And then I think that you are no longer looking at the individual pieces, like this theater poster or this book or whatever. But when it's a good book, you can see that within all these projects, there is something else going on. And that else is actually the story. And if you can get that story out of the book, and if that story affects you, then I think it's a good book. So then I think it doesn't matter if the poster is dated, or I mean...
Then the story the book is telling is a different one. It's a lot more like an overall.
Of course, yeah. I mean, there are of course, you can talk about. Of course, I can again reference maybe Karel Martens and his book Printed Matter, but also the work of Jan van Toren, who is also a Dutch designer. I always appreciated his work a lot because you are able to read actually his thoughts through the work. So also when it's a poster which is done maybe in 67, you can still understand what his thought was. And if you look at the whole body of work, you understand what his position is in graphic design. So I think that position is the inspiration you can get from that kind of book.
And that gives also gives it its value.
I think that's more maybe the most difficult question that maybe artists, I don't know if artists really ask themselves the question like, what is my work about? Because at least they have this kind of art critique trying to talk about their work a lot. So it probably also helps them to understand what their work is about. But I think in graphic design, we maybe there's this kind of discourse is maybe missing or lacking, which means that designers are not as well trained to maybe look at their own work and to be self-critical. And I think that the self-criticism helps you to become a better designer. And I must say, in our work, for me, it's also difficult to say, what is our work about? So this is a question I raise when I have to give a talk here. Like, if I look at all the work, what is the work actually about? If I think about Jan van Toorn, I think, oh, that's quite clear. If I look at my own work, then I start to feel kind of uncertain, because I think, like, what is it really about? I cannot just answer that with one sentence, and that makes me also feel uncertain, you know, because you know that you want to achieve something that is kind of clear. So every project you do is one, what you can say, one piece of a longer string or whatever, of a red thread running through the work. So the question is, what kind of work do you want to make? And are the projects you do part of that kind of story? It's a very, very difficult question.
But why don't you ask somebody else what your work is about? Maybe it's easier because you look at it.
Of course, you could do that, but I'm not like it's a question that actually is the main question we ask students now also at the Werkplatz, and I just call it now, what is your work in the work? Because they can do their work, but the question is, if they do their work, what is actually your work in the work? So what is it that you contribute in a project, and how are the things that you contribute connected to each other? So I think that is a main question for my students, and of course that's a question I ask, because it's a question I ask myself. And I think it's the most important question for maybe anyone who is maybe like either an artist or like, what is it that your work makes your work different from someone else's work? It's becomes, of course, easier when you get older. As what I said, like, mm-hmm. these designers who grew older, they get maybe more fixed ideas about things, whether you like it or not, but they have like opinions. And since maybe I'm not so heavily opinionated, can you say that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're quite open, then still you make choices. So although you say, well, for me, this is a nice ice cream, but I like this and I like that. But then still, in the things I like, there is something that connects. So what is that? And that is, of course, something you ask yourself.
Can that also not limit you if you suddenly say, okay, this is what my work is about, and then you feel you have to follow this path?
No, because I think if you just look at the development, I mean, it's much easier if you talk about art, because if you just talk about the development of an artist, just name someone like an easy example, Mondrian, and you see the development in the art, in the work of the artist, and you understand, then you start to understand that actually what the artist is doing is not every time starting from zero, but what he does, he's learning from his previous work, and he's using this kind of knowledge, and also it becomes the inspiration for the next work. So I think that then suddenly it becomes like a chain of works, and you see also a development from early childhood till somebody dies, that you see, well, you see that slowly the work became more radical, became more precise, became more part of a research. And I think that Sorry, I don't know. This I cannot help those sounds. I can of course switch
hungry?
It off.
No.
It's just it's just like it's I have stomach. This iPhone, and it just warns you when there is an email coming in. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So I think it's not a limitation. I think it's the better you understand what you actually try to do, the more maybe it can help you what your next work actually should be, or actually how you can improve your work. So I think that the work itself leads you to other works and new work, and you can also say that although I'm satisfied about, you know, if you just look at the body of work of 20 years, maybe there are a few moments in this kind of time span that you could say maybe every 5 years you were able to do something really special, like something that came out really well. But all everything in between are maybe all more like tryouts, you know. Maybe you were just trying to achieve that kind of thing, but not everything came together in the right way. And then slowly, sometimes you manage to make your point, and then you also have to move on. I mean, we have these. If I just look at the shelf and the work, I can maybe only pick out 4 or 5 books that I think, okay, these were really important for us, but I don't want to make those books anymore, which were very maybe kind of they were kind of good solutions at that time. But my thinking about things also have changed. So slowly you develop, and luckily I think. Otherwise, what could be the motivation? You know, I think also you need this kind of thing that you think that the ultimate whatever design has not been made yet, you know, there it should be something which is still like a question.
Also, because you're two, your development rate is also how does that work? Like one can develop further than the other, or how does it work?
Well, I think of course it would change maybe when one of us would actually maybe develop complete different interests, or when one of us would actually have no interest in anything anymore and the other is still kind of like taking part in an active way of what's happening. I can imagine that the roads would separate, but so far I think we are both kind of curious people, so we always like to know things and we like to find out things, and maybe also in a similar, in the same kind of area of interest. So it's, of course, we have different things that we like, and we do maybe more in our, whatever, free time. Like I maybe do more this, and Lynn does maybe something else. But at the same time, it comes, we are like 5 days a week in the studio. I mean, how much private life do you have anyway? You know? many of the things you do together is also like you experience together, the people you meet, the things you see, whatever, if you go on a trip. So I think if we would probably separate for a couple of years maybe and then come back, maybe we think like, oh, well, what should we do together now?
last question. Go on.
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? Well, I must say, I really like it when I read, for instance, something about us, that we are also important for students, like as teachers. So I think it's, I'm really proud of being also kind of meaningful for young students. I think it's a beautiful job to be a teacher, you know, so I don't want to be remembered only as a teacher, but I think to be a teacher and remembered as a teacher is, I could be happy with that. I think there are probably, there's one thing that we will probably be remembered of, because it's kind of so kind of used a lot, is the logo of Victor Rolf. But I don't want to say I want to be remembered because of the Victor Rolf logo. But I can imagine that Victor Rolf logo will exist maybe beyond my death, and maybe beyond the death of Victor Rolf, and maybe in 100 years time. And then while most of the work you've done is already like destroyed, or that probably this logo is still kind of part of the world. And I can imagine that in that sense it will survive us. I don't know. it doesn't really answer the question. I think just that you can contribute in the development of graphic design, I think is also maybe one of the best, I said compliments, you know, that your contribution was important or is important. I think that is a big compliment, I think. If I read that, I would be happy too.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Type Radio. Type Radio.